בוקר אור רבותיי, חנוכה שמח וחודש טוב ומבורך, ראש חודש טבת תשפ"א. Wednesday mornings our custom is to learn Tehillim of David HaMelech Alav Shalom. These classes are Le'ilu Nishmat Tzadeket, Lili Le'a Bat Virginia, Mrs. Lili Maddeb Alav Shalom, Ruach Adonai Tenihena Began Eden. Amen. We learn a chapter a week. We try to get an overview of the chapter. We started from the beginning and we move one a week. Last week we made an exception. We broke from the order, being that it was Hanukkah, so we did chapter Lamed, which was Mizmor Shir Hanukkah Tabayit Le David. Today, some of our members requested that maybe we do the Mizmor for Rosh Chodesh, being that today is Rosh Chodesh Tevet, and there is a special chapter that is read on Rosh Chodesh. So I took their advice, and we are going to learn today chapter 104. So we're jumping around only to keep it current because of Inyane Diyoma. So if you have your Tehillim books opened, you could start to read 104, which is the famous Barechi Nafshi et Adonai. Adonai Elohai Gadalta Meod Hod Vehadar Labashta. This chapter primarily talks about the days of creation and the wonder of the Borei and the creation of the world. And if you'll go through the chapter, you'll see that every few Pesukim, David HaMelech is moving from one day of the creation to the next. For example, if you look at Pasuk Bet, Ote Or Kasalma. So that already, we know the first thing that God created in the world was Or. Right? He said Yehi Or on day one. And Ote Or Kasalma, so he spread the Or like a Salma, like a garment. And note shamayim kairi'a. We also know that Borei Olam also created after vayhi or yehi rakia. So that we have the order in the Tehillim. Ote or, and then note shamayim. Vayhi or yehi rakia. And then the chapter tells us about the wonder of the creation of the clouds and the rain. So he explains to us how the firmament, the Shamayim, came about, the Rakia. Turns out that the clouds become the ceiling. Hamkare is a ceiling. Aliyotav. The ceiling of the heavens is the clouds. And the Pasuk says, Hasam Abim Rechubo. And that's the clouds, the avim, that are moving, that are collected over there. Hamhalech al kanfirua, that are traveling via the wind. Ose malachav ruhot mesharetav eshlohet. So over here, the Malbim tells us how the rain is formed. Actually, you have the condensation of the waters from the ocean, and they form clouds. And then the wind comes and blows the clouds from the ocean back to the earth. And Misharetav Eshlohet. If you know anything about the rain, there is electrical currents that are going through the clouds. We see that today. It's called lightning. So therefore, before the rain comes, you have Ruhot and Ish. You have the winds and you have the fire. The fire, which would be the lightning, which the way the Malbim says, Al yedei chomer ha-lektriya. It says it, the electric. Shu chomer ha-ish. Okay, and emsa ba'edim. Seems there's a electrical current in the clouds themselves. Shemehem yetzeh chomer ha-ish. Yer'em ra'amim u'brakim, which is actually thunder and lightning. And it cracks open the clouds, and that's where the rain comes down. The next pasuk says, Yasad eres al mechoneha. Well, that's part of the creation as well. After the creation of the waters, the pasuk says, "Yikavu hamayim," let the waters collect into the oceans. Ve'tera'e hayabasha, So Yasad Eris. Borei Olam established the Eris, the earth. Bal Temot Olam Ba'ed. And it will remain a forever. So that's referring to the collecting of the waters into the oceanus, into the oceans. Tehom Kalevush Kesito Al Harim Ya'amdu Mayim. So he's telling us, initially, the world was just filled with water. To the extent, Al-Harim Ya'amdu Mayim. Which means even the mountains were underwater. Everything was underwater. The whole world was filled with water. The Borei Olam took the waters and put them in one place. And then the Pasuk says, Min Ga'aratecha Yenusum. Borei Olam is Go'er Bo. It's like he screamed at the waters, he chastised them, they ran away. And then, Mikol Ra'amecha Yehafezun. And then once they went into the clouds, when God brings the thunder, Yehafezun, they run back down. So they're running. Yenusun means they ran up into the clouds, and Yehafezun is means they come back down. That's the way the Malbim explains. So therefore, it's talking about the rain cycle. Ya'alu harim yirdu bekaon. Now the rain comes down on the mountains, and then trickles down into the valleys. Il mekom zeh yasad talahim. So Borei Olam established it to be that way in order that it'll irrigate the fields, as the next pasuk says, that gevul samta bal ya'avurun. Borei Olam put the waters in the ocean, and there's a gevul, there's a border, and they don't pass that border, the beach, the shoreline. Bal yishuvun dechasot ha'aretz. Otherwise they're going to return to be mechaseh ha'aretz, to cover the ground. Hamshaleach ma'ayanim b'nehalim. Borei Olam puts these wellsprings Ben harim yahalechun, that are between the mountains, which means it trickles down into the mountains, and as a result creates these little, tributaries of water that are trickling in between the mountains. And yeshku kol haytor sadai, and as a result, it gives sustenance to haytor sadai, to the animals that are in the field. Yeshku kol yishperu feraim. Fraim is the wild animals. Sima'am, they're able to quench their thirst. Alehem of Hashemayim Yishkon. And on these mountains, the birds are able to rest next to the water. Ben Ofayim Yitenu Kol. And therefore, Borei Olam made a place for the birds that they and the animals to be in those areas where there's water. Mashke harim ma'aliyotav. Borei Olam gives the irrigation to the mountains, ma'aliyotav, from the ceiling, from the clouds in the heaven. Mipirim ma'asecha tisba ha'aretz. And as a result, the fruits get irrigated. Masmiya hasila behema. That's the grass, grows for the animals. Ve'esev la'avodat ha'adam. And the grass, of course, for the humans. Lehotzi lechem min ha'aretz. Now, of course, lechem does not come from the aris. It needs to be processed. That's why it says ve'esev la'avodat ha'adam, which means the grass that grows the wheat, it needs avodat ha'adam, it needs work, plowing, and then waiting till it grows, and then threshing it, and then grinding it, etc. So therefore, the pasuk says ve'esev la'avodat ha'adam, and then lehotzi lechem min ha'aris, to ultimately bring it to bread. Yayin, that's regarding wine. Yisamach lebab enosh. Okay, the wine brings the person to simha. Lehasil panim misham. And also we have oil, make his face bright when he eats it or puts it on his face. But the main thing is lechem lebab enosh yisad. He's satiated by the bread. Yisbe'u aseh Hashem. The rain also allows the trees to grow, not only the fruit trees that we mentioned, but even the regular trees, for example. Arzeh Lebanon. Arzeh Lebanon is the cedar tree. Now, the cedar tree doesn't have any fruit, but we use the cedar tree for building. Asher Nata. Asher Sham Sipurim Yikanenu. And the cedar tree also is the home for the birds. The birds build their nests over there. Hasida is a type of bird. Biroshim Beta. Birosh is a type of cedar. It rests in the cedar tree. Harim agibolim layi'alim. I was talking about where all the animals, they have their places where they live. So you have the big mountains, layi'alim. Ya'il is like a type of deer, mountain deer. Vashifanim Tefanim is like the squirrels or the hyrax, if you like that. Sila'im, the rocks, like in the caves, mahsela shfanim. That's where the shfanim hide, because you know, they're small animals. They need to hide from the bigger animals. So Bnei Olam gives them the nooks in the mountains. Sila'im mahsela shfanim. The shfanim are able to hide in the nooks and the rocks in the mountains. Asaya leya. Now we continue. Which day are we up to? So we're moving on to the days of the creation, to day 4. So already we did Yehi Or. We did Yehi Rakia. And then we did Yekavu Hamayim, Vetera'e Hayabasha. And then we talked about all the irrigation. And now we get to day 4. It was created on day 4. The luminaries. Asaya Reyach LeMo'adim. That's probably why, Rabotai, we read this on Rosh Chodesh. Asaya Reyach. Because we talk about the creation of the moon. Again, we are lunar people. We follow the lunar calendar. And therefore, Rosh Chodesh is a celebration of the new moon. Shemesh Yadam Evo'o. And the sun, of course, was created. And it has its trajectory. Tashet Choshech. And then Bore Olam brings darkness. V'hi Laila. What happens when night comes? Bo Tirmos Kol Hayto Ya'ar. So all the Hayot come out at night. These are the small animals that at night they have to go out in order to get their food. So it says, Hakifirim shu'agim latarif. Kifirim are the small cubs, the small lions. Shu'agim latarif. They come out in order to seek their, their food. Shu'agim latarif. They scream out in order to get their food. Ulbakesh me'el ochlam. So therefore, these are animals that come out at night. However, tizrach hashemesh, what happens in the morning? Ya'asifun. They come back inside. They go away. Ve'el mo'onatam yirbatsun. They go back to their abodes, which is a big chesed. You know, the animals come out at night. That's why you have to be careful at night. But in the day, what happens? The animals retreat. And they go back into their hibernation. They go back into the forest, into the woods. That's a big chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us, so we can go to work. Yetze Adam Mefa'olo. Next pasuk. So a guy can go to work. Imagine if there was lions and tigers roaming the streets in the day. So you wouldn't be able to leave your house. Yetze Adam Mefa'olo. V'na'avadotu ade'ar. You could work until the evening. Marabu ma'asecha Hashem. David HaMelech is saying how wondrous the creation is. Kulam b'chokhma asita. Everything was done with tremendous chokhmah. Maleah ha'aris kinyanecha. The land is, the earth is filled with your acquisitions. Now he continues. Which day are we up to? Zeh yam gadol. So he's talking about the yam gadol, which is Oceanus, the different bodies of water. Urhab yadayim. It's very, very, very prosperous. Sham remes ve'en mispar. Which means there's a limitless amount of creatures, sea creatures. Sham remes ben beli mispar hayot ketanot im gedolot. So you have over there in the waters, you have hayot ketanot, small fish, im gedolot, big fish. The Malbim says you have the veil fish. The big fish eats the small fish. However, the small fish multiplies so fast that no matter how fast the whale fish eats the small fish, there's so many of them. That's why it says in the Pasuk, Sham remes ve'en mispar. It's en mispar. They fertilize so many eggs at a time, so therefore they produce faster than they can be eaten. Sham oniyot yahalechun, and you have the fishermen. Well, the fishermen take their boats out, and they go fishing. Leviathan zoo or Leviathan ze yasarta lesachigbo, right? And they go fishing. They have an amusement. They go have a good time. They play with the their fishing rods to catch fish. Kulam elecha yisaberun. All of the creation turns to God for their sustenance. Latet ochlam beito, and Bnei Olam gives their food at the time. Teten lahem yilkotun. Bore Olam sometimes gives them the mezonot as they need it. Yilkotun, which means they collect whatever they need. Tiftach yadecha, but other times Borei Olam opens his hand and they get shefa. Yisbe'un tov. Right? So therefore, sometimes they get the minimum what they need, sometimes they get shefa, but other times, tastir panecha, sometimes Borei Olam doesn't give them anything. God removes his face from them, he turns around, yibahilun, and they get confused. Tosef ruham, and then they die, yigva'un, ve'el afaram yishuvun, and they go back to their, the ground, ve'el afaram yishuvun. And then what happens? But that's the cycle of life. Although animals and humans die, Teshalach Ruchacha, God sends his spirit down, Yibareun, he creates new ones. Tehadesh Pene Adama. Therefore, he rejuvenates the Adama. And therefore, there's a constant refreshing of the creation. Yichevod Hashem Le'olam, the glory of God, which is seen in the creation, that's Kevod Hashem Le'olam, Yismach Hashem B'ma'asav. So, therefore, you see, Borei Olam rejoices in the creation of the world. Yismach Hashem b'ma'asav. He created the world, which gives him simcha in order to give duchesed to the creation. Hamabit la'ares. God, when he wants to destroy the world, if he wants, he can. Hamabit la'ares. He just gives one look at the earth, matirad. It starts to shake. You have an earthquake. Yiga beharim v'yashanu. He touches the mountains, volcanoes, and all of a sudden they erupt. And all of a sudden, you have destruction. David HaMelech concludes the chapter and says, Ashira la'Hashem b'chayai. He says, Baruch Hashem, I'm alive. As long as I'm alive and I didn't get destroyed, I will sing to God. Azamira l'Elohai be'odi. I will praise him as long as I am around. Ye'erav alav sihi. God enjoys the pleasant conversation of the praises that David HaMelech gives him. Ye'erav, it's alev, it's sweet. Anochi yismach b'Hashem. I will rejoice. My simcha is from God. That's where I get my simcha from religion. And the last pasuk says, Yitamu hata'im min ha'aris. When God destroys the world, he's going to destroy the Rishaim. Rishaim odenam, there'll be no more Rishaim. And David HaMelech ends the chapter like he started it. Barichi nafshi et Adonai. Hallelujah. If I'm not mistaken, this is the first Hallelujah in the Tehillim. It took David 104 chapters before he says Hallelujah. And that's the overview, Rabotai. Now you learned the chapter once and for all. I felt that we had to go through every pasuk just to get an overview of what's going on before we make the Hiddushim on the chapter. So at least we know it's following the Biryat HaOlam. Borei Olam, David HaMelech is praising. And again, I believe the reason why they chose it for Rosh Chodesh is because we have the Yareyach. Asa Yareyach LeMoadim. Since the Moadim are established by the Yareyach, which is Rosh Chodesh, so therefore it's a fitting mention. Fine. Today, Rabotai, on this chapter, I'd like to analyze the last pasuk. This last pasuk is subject to a famous Gemara in Berachot. The Gemara in Berachot is on page 10, Daf Yud Amud Rishon. I will read you the Gemara. Again, as I said, it is indeed famous. Hanehu biryone. Biryone is like bullies. Mafia. Biryone. Dehavu b'shibbute de Rabbi Meir. So they lived in the neighborhood of Rabbi Meir. Okay. Vehavu kamitza'are le'tuva. They were giving Rabbi Meir a hard time. I don't know what they were doing to Rabbi Meir, but they were giving him a hard time. They were probably the committee of the shul. That's what I'm assuming who they were, these biryonim. Usually that's what the committee does, to give the rabbi a hard time. Nothing changes. So you probably had the president, the vice president, the secretary, the treasurer, the shul, and the rabbi probably wanted a raise, and they didn't give it to him, and they told him his speeches are too long, and whatever they told him, they want him to wear different clothes, etc. So hani biryonim, that would be shivotet to be me. They would come inside of the tuva. They were giving him a hard time. Well, that's the last one you want to start with, is Rabbi Meir. Hava kaba'e Rabbi Meir rahame alayu k'yechi delimutu. So he was praying that they should die. Very simple. Rabbi Meir felt these guys are hopeless. And instead of waiting for elections, that's it, we'll get rid of them. Now, it seems that his wife, the Tzadeket Beruria, heard Rabbi Meir praying for the death of these people. Actually, I'm not too sure if he actually prayed, because the Pasuk says, Aba kaba'e Rabbi Meir, rahameh Elayu. Actually, interesting the way the Gemara says it. He was praying for rahamim. It's rahamim for these people to die. If they die, they won't make any more sins. He was praying that they should die. Anyway, Amra le Beruria de Bitu. Beruria, his wife, said, "My da'tach, what are you relying on that you're praying for these people to die? Are you relying on the chapter Tehilim Daf Kuf Perek Kuf Dalet, the one we just read? Are you relying on the last pasuk of that chapter that says what Yitamu Hatayim in the Aretz, that let the sinners be destroyed from the land, and therefore you pray for their destruction? Mi Ketiv Hotim? Oh, the pasuk does not say Yitamu Hotim, that the sinners should be perished from the land. Hatayim Ketiv, Hatayim is the sin. Yitamu Hatayim in the Aretz, let the sins perish." Which means, once you pray for them to make teshuvah and the sin is no longer, you got rid of the rasha'im. Now, how did you get rid of the rasha'im? You didn't get rid of the rasha, you got rid of his sins. You prayed for them to make teshuvah. Pray for them to make teshuvah. Okay. So his wife tells him, listen, what are you praying for them to die for? Pray for them to make the shuvah. So he took his wife's opinion. It worked. He prayed for them and they made the shuvah. So you see that Beruria and Rabbi Meir over here had a mahloket how to learn this pasuk. It's a mahloket Tanaim. Yeah, the Tana Rabbi Meir and the Tana'a Beruria. If Mahloket, Beruria held what? No, you don't pray for sinners to die. Obviously, these were Jewish people over here. Ani Biryoneh, they were Jewish people. Elabai, pray for them to make the Shuvah. Rabbi Meir initially held, no, Yitamu Hatayim. These people reached a certain level, you got to pray for them to perish. Fine, in this case over here, Rabbi Meir acquiesced and prayed for them, and actually they made Teshuvah. The question is, what is the halakha? Is the halakha like Rabbi Meir, or is the halakha like Beruria? So I have a proof from another Gemara that I'll quote to you, that I believe Rabbi Meir ultimately agreed with Beruria, that we don't pray for the death of Rishayim. We pray for them to make teshuvah. How do I know that he ultimately agreed with Beruria? So I'm reading you a Gemara Kiddushin, Daf Lamed Vav. Very important Gemara. The Pasuk says, Banim atem lehashem Elohechem. Pasuk Devarim Yudalet. God says, Banim atem, you're children of God. What does it mean, children of God? We have a neshama. We're the chosen. So the Gemara says, what does it mean, banim atem? Bizman sha'atem nuhagim min hagbanim atem kiruim banim. Yeah, when you act like banim, you're called banim. En atem nuhagim min hagbanim, en atem kiruim banim. Devre Rabbi Yehuda. Wow. So Rabbi Yehuda says, b'kadush. You're not always called banim. You have to earn the title. If you want that preferential treatment to be considered like banim, I guess if you're like banim, you have to get mercy, you get perks, you get certain rahmanut, benefits. So Rabbi Yehuda says, yeah, if you behave, but if you're belligerent and you're disobedient and you're not following the Torah mitzvot, you're not called banim. So Rabbi Yehuda learns that what it says, banim atem namakom, is stipulative. It depends. You're not always called banim. Only when you act in the tzaddikim way, you're considered banim. If not, you lose the title banim. That's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir Omer, listen to this, Rabotai. Ben kach u ben kach atem kiruyim banim. Unbelievable. Rabbi Meir says, ben kach u ben kach. Doesn't matter what a Jew does. Doesn't matter if he didn't follow. Doesn't matter if he's disobedient. Of course, he's going to have to pay for his sins. But he can never lose this title, Banim. A Jew is always considered a Ben. And he brings Pesukim, Shnei Emar. He quotes a Pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Banim, Sechalim Hema. That even though we're Sechalim, even though we're belligerent, Banim. He quotes a Pasuk in Devarim. Banim, Lo Emun Bam. Even though we don't have Emunah, Banim. It says in Yeshayahu, Zera Mire'im, Banim Mashchitim. That even though we're Mashchitim, we're still called Banim. Oh, and he quotes all stories. So what do you see in this Gemara? You see that ultimately Rabbi Meir agreed with Beruria. Because originally what happened, you had these Biryonim, and he was praying for them to die. Originally he held like Rabbi Yehuda must be. And therefore, since these are not Banim anymore, they're not considered the children of God anymore. They're Biryonim, they're making trouble. So he prayed for them to die. Beruria said, what are you talking about? You thought they lost their status? No, there's always, last week we talked about the spark in every single Jew. You pray for them to make the Shuvah, and they can return. Oh, later on, the Bimi not only agreed to Beruria, but he would bring many Pesukim to show that no matter what happens with a Jew, he's always considered Banim. We never consider a Jew that is considered a defector, or he's considered a foregone, or hopeless, like we said. No, he's still considered Banim. Okay, so that's very nice. Only one problem, Rabotai. The only one problem, and this is what we have to deal with over here. We have a general rule here, that here we have a mahloket between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. We have rules in halakha. Who do we follow whenever there's a mahloket between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir? Very simple rule. Halakha ke Rabbi Yehuda. That we learned already in Masechet Eruvin on Daf Mem Vav. Amar Rabbi Yohanan, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, halakha ke Rabbi Yehuda. So, if I'm sorry to tell you that according to this halakha then, if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, it's possible for a Jew to lose his status. It's possible for a Jew to lose the status of Banim. You're not always Banim, which is unfortunate. We'd rather have Rabbi Meir that we're always in good standing with God. We always have a standing of Banim. But again, if we're going to follow the general rule of Halakha Rabbi Yehuda, it seems that the Banim status is stipulative. Amotai, I have some good news to report today. I found a famous opinion of the Rashba, one of the Rishonim. It's in the She'elot U'Tshuvot HaRashba, Chelek Aleph, Siman Kuf Tzadi Dalid, and he comes along and he writes, and I quote, Ve'af al gav de Rabbi Meir v'Rabbi Yehuda, halakha ke Rabbi Yehuda, haka Rabbi Meir kra kadayik. Oh, Rabbi Meir bar Pesukim. When do you say Halakha Rabbi Yehuda? That's what it's a straight up mahloket. But here, Rabbi Meir bar 5 Pesukim to prove his point. Ah, he's got the proofs with him. So the Rashba goes out of his way to say, in this case, Halakha is like Rabbi Meir. That a Jew is always a Jew. That we don't never come along and say, no, you're not a Jew anymore. No, we hold like Rabbi Meir. And what does Rabbi Meir say? Banim, even Mashchitim. Now, Rabotai, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not telling you that it's a mitzvah to be a Mashchit. Because you say, okay, Mashchitim, you're Banim, therefore do whatever you want. Go become a Mechalel Shabbat, go in the middle of the Rifot, Banim. No, which is saying that we always look at a Jew from our perspective, he's a Ben, and therefore we have to bring him back. We cannot, write him off. We have to try to Mekarev him. And Borei Olam still calls him a Ben, and therefore there's a chance. If Hashem still calls him a Ben, then our attitude also has to be, we have to come back and bring him back. I saw another answer, which is a beautiful answer, Why, in this case, the halakha follows Rabbi Meir? Which, by the way, Rabbi Meir got this idea from his wife, from Beruria, the way we're learning. Don't pray for the death of the Rishayim. Pray for him to make the Shuva. So I saw in a sefer called Emet Li Yaakov Nino. He says a beautiful pshat. He says, why don't we follow Rabbi Meir? Why isn't the halakha generally like Rabbi Meir? Why shouldn't we follow Rabbi Meir? So the Gemara says, we don't follow Rabbi Meir is because the rabbis were not able to be yored lesof da'ato. So Gemara Eruvin says that he was so deep, Rabbi Meir. And his understanding and his sevara, his logic was so deep that the rabbis couldn't get to the crux of what he really meant. And therefore, we posek like the other opinions. That's what the Gemara in Eruvin's Lashon is. Let's see if I have the Gemara's Lashon in front of me. It says, Lo yardu lesof da'ato. They were not yored lesof da'ato shel Rabbi Meir. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm quoting you the Gemara in Eruvin Daf Yud Gimel. Amar av habar hanina, galui v'yadua lefne misha amar v'ya olam, she'en bedoro shel Rabbi Meir kemoto. In the Bimi's generation, there was nobody like him. So why is that halakha not like him? They couldn't understand him. So says Rabbi Yaakov Nino Big Adush, when do we say that we don't follow Rabbi Meir? That's when it's a halakhic argument. When we're talking about Isur Veheter, or we're talking about Dine Mamonot, when it comes to a regular mahlok in halakha, we don't go like a bimeir. Why? Lo yarad lesof da'ato. But over here, what are we discussing over here? Here we're discussing that he says the Jews are always banim. That already, he's talking about a kadosh baruch hu. He's saying that a kadosh baruch hu always looks at us as banim. Hashem understands Rabbi Meir. Maybe the rabbis, when it came to halakhic arguments, were not yored lesof da'ato shel Rabbi Meir. But of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is yored lesof da'ato. So when Rabbi Meir says, we are called banim, what else? I understand what he's talking about. Yes, he's right. So therefore, in halakha, that's l'inyan shamayim, then halakha follows Rabbi Meir. When it's a halakhic argument, so the rabbi says, listen, we know what he's talking about, but we can't understand him. He's too deep for us. Fine, halakha could have other rabbis. But here, what is he saying? He's saying, Borei Olam, you always look at us as banim. Borei Olam says, absolutely. You understood that. So therefore, in the halakha, that has to do with the Shamayim's attitude. Since the Shamayim is yored lesof da'ato, halakha ka Rabbi Meir. Based on this, I saw an unbelievable explanation from the Satmar Rebbe, the Devrei Yoel, that he has on the Yamim Noraim. You know how we say in the Musaf, Hayom harat olam. Hayom ya'amid b'mishpat, kol yisuri olam. And then we say what? Today you're going to judge us. Im ke banim. Im ke abadim. Either you're going to judge us like banim, or you're going to judge us what? Ke abadim. Abadim is like slaves. If you get judged like a slave, it's no good. We want to get judged like banim. So we say like this. At the end we say, Im ke banim, im ke abadim. If we're doing Ritzono Shel Makom, if we're following your ways, then you'll treat us like banim and give us a good judgment. However, if we're not following your ways, then you're going to treat us like abadim. So then we say, Im ka abadim, enecha lecha teluyot. God, we're looking at you because you understand Rabbi Meir. Enecha lecha teluyot. You understand the depth of Rabbi Meir that says, even if we're not osim Ritzono Shel Makom, we're still like banim. We have to rely on you, Borei Olam, until you have mercy on us, because you understand banim atem lemakom, no matter what. And therefore, he says, his lashon is, im ka'abadim az enenu lechat teliyot, shari ataya kol yered lesof da'ato shel Rabbi Meir, v'tuchal lekbo alaka kemoto, al ken bakashatenu shetechonenu, ותוציא לאור משפטנו קדוש. On Yom Kippur, on Rosh Hashanah, we activate the Zikut of Rabbi Meir. They come along and say, Halakha kemoto. So even though we might have messed up during the course of the year, we're still banim. And therefore, enenu lecha teluyot, we're relying on you, God, that understand the depth of Rabbi Meir. I saw Another explanation from Rav Levi Yitzchak Berdichev. He explains why is halakha like Rabbi Meir, that no matter what a Jew does, he's always banim. So he says, he bases it on a Gemara and a Midrash that we learned many times. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah and Daf Chafeh says, Ele mo'adei Adonai mikra'e kodesh, asher tikru otam b'mo'adam. These are the holidays. Asher tikru otam. The Gemara says, don't read it otam, but read it atem. It means what? Atem, you make the holidays. The rabbi makes the holidays. The bedin. So the Gemara says, atem afilu shogegim, atem afilu mezidim. That even if the bedin makes a mistake, even if the bedin on purpose messes up the calendar, whatever the bedin says, that's when the holidays are. Atem afilu mezidim. So Rav Levi Yitzchak Berdichev says, Banim atem lemakom, atem afidu mezidim. Exactly like the same derash that he makes by the holidays. Banim atem lemakom, atem afidu shogegim, atem afidu mezidim. Doesn't matter what Klai Yisrael does. The status, and by the way, don't minimize what we're saying. This is the whole mahlokan of Christianity. The Christianity comes along and says, you lost it. You lost it after you made the Averot. Borei Olam shunned you, and you're not Banim anymore. Now you became Abadim, and now we have a new testament, we have a new people, we have a new breed, Hadasha, all this stuff that they talk about. No, we come along and say, Alaka gonna be Meir, Banim Atem Nashem. You're right, we sinned. You're right, we maybe did the Averot, Hinta Egil, etc. Banim Ashaitim. We can never lose that status. A Jew, you know, they say a Jew is a Jew is a Jew. Doesn't matter. You can never forsake. You can never convert out of your Judaism. You can only convert into your Judaism. A Jew cannot come along and say, well, you know what? Just I want to opt out. Now the guy says, hey, you're eating a ham sandwich. No, I converted to Christianity yesterday. I'm sorry to tell you, you're still a Jew. You cannot opt out of it. It's a one-way street over here. Benim atem la'ashem, you're still a ben. Oh, so therefore, atem v'afilu mezidim. I saw another explanation why we follow Rabbi Meir. Without we're getting to a big point. I saw another explanation why we follow Rabbi Meir. From Chacham Avadia Yosef, alav shalom. Chacham Avadia, alav shalom, quotes a Gemara, Baba Batra, Daf Yud. It says, Tanya. Aya Rabbi Meir omer, yesh lo leba'al adin lo shivka v'loma lecha. אם אלוהיכם אוהב עניים הוא, מפני מה אינו מפרנסם? So the Gemara says, if God loves the poor people, why doesn't he give them parnasa? Good question. אוהב עניים, give them something. Why are they suffering? So it says, this question, Turnus Rufus the Rasha, Turnus Rufus, God, he deserves to have such an ugly name like that, Rasha Merusha, Turnus Rufus. He asked this question to Rabbi Akiva. What did he say? Im Elohechem ohev aniim hu. If your God loves aniim, mipnei ma eno mefarnesam. Why doesn't he give them sustenance? Amar le kedei shenitzol anu b'midina shel gehinam. To save us from gehinam. We give money to the aniim, it saves us from gehinam. So Borei Olam created aniim in order to save the people. Like what the Gemara says in a different place. More than the rich man does to the poor person does to the rich person. It means the poor person saved the rich person from Gainam. So Turnus Rufus comes along and says, what are you talking about? Adraba, by giving Siddaka Ish Bihayav Mita. This is what he tells Rabbi Akiva, why? And he gives him a mashal. He says, mashal to a king that has an Eved. And he takes the Eved and he puts him in jail. And he comes along and he says, I don't want anybody to have mercy on this guy. And all of a sudden, somebody sees the Eved of the king that's in jail and he starts to feed him. He's rebellious to the king. The king doesn't want him to get fed. What are you feeding him for? So Turnus Rufus says, if God made the Ani poor, who are you to go against God? So Rabbi Akiva comes along and says, no, Turnus Rufus, just like your name is awkward, so too your mishalim are awkward. You don't know how to make a good mashal. The real mashal would be, let's say the king has a son, not an Eved. The king has a son, a prince. He gets angry at the prince. Sometimes the king gets angry at the prince. And he throws him in prison. And the prince is languishing in the prison. And all of a sudden somebody sees the prince. He says, oh, poor guy, give him something to eat. And finally, the king, when his mercy comes down, his anger subsides, he goes back to the prince. He says, well, you're alive. How did you survive it? A guy came and fed me every day. Where's that guy? Give him reward. Baruch Hashem, he kept you alive until my anger subsided. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva was the one that said, Adraba, we are considered banim. We're not avadim. Oh, so says Acham Avadya, Rabbi Meir is not Da'at Yahid anymore. Rabbi Meir saying is Alakha B'shitat Rabbi Akiva. So therefore, it's true, Rabbi Meir v'Rabbi Yehuda, Alakha K'Rabbi Yehuda. But here you see Rabbi Meir that says Banim. He's following the opinion of Rabbi Akiva as well. And therefore, there's another reason why should be posek like Rabbi Meir. Okay, Rabotai. Now, why is this significant, specifically today? The Ben Ish Chai, Alav Shalom, and his halachot says that on Rosh Chodesh Tevet, today's Rosh Chodesh Tevet, one should light a candle lezecher nishmat Rabbi Meir Balanes. Today is the day of Rabbi Meir, Rabotai, Rosh Chodesh Tevet. And he says, when you light the candle, you make special prayer. Elaha de Meir Anena. Rav Chaim Palachi brings it down to Moed Lekol Chai. Then in Rosh Chodesh Tevet, you should give tzedakah to the kupa, to kolel chatzot, of course, that's where you have to give all your money. And then we give it, and we give it le'ilu nishmat, le'zich nishmat b'mir ba'lanes. And I saw brought down by Rabbi Pinchas Zvihi in one of his sefarim, that he actually wants to say that Rabbi Meir, his yortzeit is on Hanukkah. I know a lot of people, they celebrate the yortzeit on Pesach Sheni, Yudalad Iyar, but he wants to say that, why are we lighting a candle on Rosh Chodesh Tevet for Rabbi Meir? So he says, because he was called Meir, because he was born on Hanukkah. Meir is Melashon Nerot. And therefore, since he was born, the tzaddik is born, he dies at the same time. So he says, must have died in Hanukkah as well. So therefore, we're lighting a ner today, lezecher nishmat, Rabbi Meir. Now, I'd like to explain for a moment that what is this inyan that you light a candle? Somebody asked me a question recently. What is this inyan? Somebody passes away, you light a candle. What does that got to do? Ner neshama. Oh, because it says ner Hashem neshmat adam. What's the pshat? Which means, what does it do by lighting a ner at the time of a person's passing away? And we have this custom. Erev Yom Kippur, they light nerot for the yortzeit. On the yortzeit day itself, they light nerot. Today, everybody after the class, take a ner out, light it for the bimeir, the Ben Ish Chai says. The question is, why? So I saw an unbelievable explanation, and they learn it from a pasuk in this chapter. Go to, back to the chapter over here, and go to the chapter. Pasuk Chaftet. Tosef Ruham Yigva'un. What's the simple explanation? Tosef Ruham. God takes away the spirit of man, and they die. Yigva'un. But I saw brought down from one of the Sefarim, let's quote him correctly. It's from the Sefer Pitron Halomot, the Rabbi Shlomo Almuli. And he says something incredible. He says, when does a person grow to the high spiritual heights? Only after he passes away. Then already he can have an increase in the spirit. Why? Because the body's not in the way. As long as the body's in the way, so his spirituality is limited. So he says, Tosef Ruham, when do they get a Tosefet Ruham? When they get an increase in spirit? Yigva'un, when they die. Tosef Ruham Yigva'un. When the tzaddik dies, now he doesn't have any physical body interrupting him. Now he's all spiritual, he's all neshama. Therefore, Tosef Ruham, when does the Tosefet of the Ruach take place? Yigva'un, at the time of death. Oh, so that's an interesting concept. That it goes against logic. That at the time of death, at the time of destruction, at the time of decay, of decomposition, that's when already you have a growth. Do we have a mashal to that in this world? Before a person dies, is there a mashal to it? Absolutely. The ner. Look at the ner. You take a, we're doing it every night now in Hanukkah. You take a keli, a vessel. You fill it up with oil. Okay? You fill it up with oil. Now you put the wick in there. And now you light it. What is lighting exactly? Which part of the wick is lighting? The part of the wick that's getting destroyed. And which part of the oil is lighting? The part that's getting destroyed. The oil that's still there is not lighting. Therefore, the oil that's dying and the wick that's being consumed is bringing the light. Therefore, we light a ner neshama to signify that at the time of destruction and decomposition and the time of decay, that's when the light is happening. That's when Tosef Ruham. When does the ner have hosafa? When the oil is being consumed at the consumption of the wick. Which goes counterintuitive. At the time of the consumption of the wick and the oil, all of a sudden, psh, you see the ner. That's exactly the mashal to mita. To sef ruham yigvaun. So therefore, Rabotai, on this day over here, what a day we have, Rosh Chodesh Tevet. That's the day of our Rabbi Rabbi Meir. And that's the day that we light a ner neshama to connect to the neshama of Rabbi Meir. By the way, that's the Rabbi Meir Balanes. That's the Bimir Balanes, Bimir. El Hadimir Anenan. Oh, so we say El Hadimir Anenan. Why do you say El Hadimir Anenan? Because the Bimir, you're the one that has hope for all Jews. You're the one that says Bani Matem. You're the one that doesn't write us off. You're right, before Beruria explained it, you might have prayed for us otherwise. But now, Baruch Hashem, you said Bani Mashchitim, and the Rashba said Halakha is like Rabbi Meir, and the Chabavadiyah said Halakha is like Rabbi Meir, and the Levi Yitzhak Mebedichev said Atem Bani Matem Afidu Mezidim, and all the tzaddikim are coming along to say what? The Halakha follows Rabbi because you have Rabbi Akiva, like we said with you. Oh, if that's the case, today on Rosh Chodesh Tevet Rabotai, on the yard side, potentially of Rabbi Meir Balanes, this is a great day of mercy. This is a great day of Teshuvah. It is today that we come to Rabbi Meir and we say, Rabbi Meir, be a melitz yosher for us. Which means, on this day of the Hanukkah, be an advocate for us. That even though maybe we're not 100%, but you're the one that said banim. And therefore, you have to tell Borei Olam to have mercy. Now we're going to Magifa. Maybe we made Averot. Banim, Rabbi Meir, you could go tell them, and the halakha is like you in the Shamayim, especially in the Shamayim. Because in Shamayim, they understand. In Shamayim, they yored lesof da'atecha. In Shamayim, they're able to penetrate sof da'atot shel Rabbi Meir. In Shamayim, for sure, halakha is like Rabbi Meir. And therefore, this pasuk that we read, the last pasuk of today's Rosh Chodesh, today is the most significant pasuk, which means this pasuk is read every Rosh Chodesh, but it takes on greatest significance, yitamu hatem on Rosh Chodesh Tevet. Because Rosh Chodesh Tevet is the day of Rabbi Meir, Yitamu Chataim, we don't say Chotim. Let the sins perish. Urshaim Odenam. The Jewish people, they're covered with some sins. Get rid of the sins, and all of a sudden you see what's underneath it. And therefore, David HaMelech says, Barichi Nafshi Et Adonai, Hallelujah. When he saw this, it's the first time he said, Hallelujah. Praise God on this, that Borei Olam has such mercy on his people, that he doesn't pray for their destruction, like we say on Ne'ilah, Ki lo achpots b'mot ha-met. God says, I don't want the met. Who's the met? B'mot ha-met. What do you mean? If he's dead, he's dead already. What do you mean b'mot ha-met? So the Hakamim say, no, the Rasha is called the met. So it's as if they're saying, Ki lo achpots b'mot ha-rasha. I don't want the Rasha to die. Ki im b'shuvo midarko ha-ra'a v'aya. I want him just to return from his bad ways, and he lives. B'rahamav, Al kol ma'asav ketiv. It doesn't say v'rahamav al tzadikim. V'rahamav al kol ma'asav. Borei Olam has mercy on all ma'asav. And therefore, this is actually a light of hope. Rabbi Meir, Badik Meshmeh. Rabbi Meir used to check out the names of people. You know, when he saw a certain name, he was able to tell you about the person. Well, we could say about Rabbi Meir, he brings light to us because it's very depressing to think, we made sins, and Hashem has, he doesn't care about us anymore, and he traded us in, and he's forgot about us. No, the Bimir is a ray of light. The Bimir comes and says, no, don't worry, you can make teshuvah. And guess what? You know why I believe he retracted from his original opinion? Because it worked. He says he prayed for these guys to make teshuvah, the Biryonim, what happened? They made teshuvah. Finished, they all made teshuvah. So you see that it works. Therefore, we have to pray when we see, let's say, like the Arizal says in the Berakah, Shivin Rabbeinu Toratecha and the Amidah. If God forbid somebody has a member in their family that's not religious, or lo aleinu went off the derech, in the Berakah Hashivin, there's a special Yiratzon from the Arizal. Yiratzon, please, Hashem, return to us this neshama. Give him an inspiration. Give him a certain hizuk, a spark, that he should return to you. That's what we do for the Rishayim. We don't pray for the Rishayim to perish. Adraba. We pray for the Rishayim to make the Shuvah. And then Urshayim Odenam. And then Barichin Nafshi. Then David HaMelech is able to say, praise, let my soul praise Hashem. Hallelujah. So let's take this great Rosh Chodesh. The Rosh Chodesh that comes once a year. Rosh Chodesh Tevet, Hanukkah. And this mizmor that we said today is very, very significant. It's a ray of hope. It's a Meir. Be Meir. Kishmokin, whose name is appropriate. And just like he gave us hope, so to Borei Olam should be mahzir amo b'tshuvah, should bring his people back to teshuvah. And then we know that once we have teshuvah shirema, then it leads to ge'ula shirema. And then ge'ula shirema leads to refuah shirema, like we have in the Amidah, back to back to back. First we have Hashivin Rabbeinu Toratecha V'Hazir B'Tshuva Shelema Lefanecha. Then we have Ge'ula Shelema Lefanecha. And then we have Refuah Shelema. So therefore, all these strings lead one to another. And ultimately, it has to start with Emunah Shelema Rabotai, which is perfect Emunah. They have to believe it. What does he mean believe? We have to believe in the power of every single Jew, the power of the Neshama that every single Jew has. And therefore, we don't write anybody off. And Be'ezrat Hashem, we should be Zocher Emunah Shelema, Teshuvah Shelema, Refuah Shelema, Ge'ulah Shelema. I told you many times that I heard once from the Sanz Klausenberger Rebbe that he said that these are the four things that need Shlemut, Emunah, Teshuvah, Refuah, and Ge'ulah, that these things cannot be done unless they're perfect. You cannot have 90%, 99% Emunah. Teshuvah, you have to make a full Teshuvah. You can't make Teshuvah 99%. Refuah Shelema, you want to feel 100% good. If you're 99% good, that means you don't feel good. And Ge'ulah Shelema, I want it to be a complete Ge'ulah where there's no Galut after. So he said, that's why on Sukkot, when we go shopping for an Etrog, everybody wants the perfect Etrog. Why? Because Etrog is Asher Tevot. Emunah, Teshuvah, Refuah, Ge'ulah. All the things that need Shlemut. So therefore, the Etrog that we buy represents these three items. Okay, look with this. Now we connected Sukkot to Hanukkah, just like the Gemara does in Shabbat, connects the Inyan of Sukkot to the holiday of Hanukkah, Ma'alim Bakodesh, Ve'en Muridim Yiratzon. Zechut Abi Meir again Ba'adenu. I will conclude. Elahad Meir Anenan, Elahad Meir Anenan, Elahad Meir Anenan. May the Zechut Abi Meir protect all of us, especially the members of this group that get together once a week in order to ponder and study the works of the Tehillim. And today, we pondered the greatness of our great Rabbi Rabbi Meir, Zichuto Yagin Aleinu V'al Kol Amo Yisrael. Amen. Can you let so?
Amen. Zichu Baruch. Chazak Baruch. Chazak Baruch, Rabbi. You're like a spiritual antibiotic. You're